this morning. Last Sunday morning, when we were talking about the holiness of God, I shared with you what I believe was a truly holy moment for me a number of years ago. A time when I truly felt there was a distance between the Lord and I, not because of sin, but because of His glory. A time when I was in the presence of God and I felt so undone, because I saw very clearly who He was and who I was. In that moment in my office, I won't recount the event, but that moment in my office that I shared was also a moment of not really getting it. Not really understanding, and yes, even questioning the will and the wisdom of God. Hard enough to leave our family, our friends, our jobs in California and to follow what we knew was the will of God in our lives, to come to a place and then in just a matter of weeks feel like, whew, the entire bottom dropped out of our world. I was angry. I was confused. I was disappointed. I was hurt in oh so many other emotions. And I wish I could tell you that was the only time I have ever struggled to accept and to understand the wisdom and the will of God. But it is not. It is not. Maybe not to that extent, but I still struggle with understanding, trying to understand, trying to comprehend, and even trying to accept the will and the wisdom of God, because they go hand in hand. The will and the wisdom of God are almost one in the same. And don't you? I hope you do. I really do. I hope you struggle with the will and the wisdom of God in your life, in the world in general. And even though we know that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, we've been talking about that for the last 5 weeks. Even though we know that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, it does not necessarily make it any easier to accept or to understand because, are you ready for this? He is God and we are not. Right? He is God and we are not. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And boy, aren't you glad. Right? Aren't you glad that God doesn't love like you love? Aren't you glad that God doesn't forgive like you forgive? Aren't you glad? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But you've been there, haven't you? And maybe you are there right now. I don't know. But I want every single one of you. Maybe you need to close your eyes. I don't know. But could you just for a moment this morning, because I know you have at some point, if you're honest with yourself, and you might as well be, you're not going to kid anybody but yourself. Could you this morning just think of an area of your life that is causing you the most stress, the most difficulty, the most pain, the most hurt? Could you think about that thing in your life right now? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a work issue or lack thereof. Maybe it's an aging family member or a wayward family member. And not only is it difficult for you, but it's difficult for you to understand. It's difficult for you to accept. You may be hurt by it. You may be angered by it. You may be saddened by it. You may be frustrated by it because you just can't seem to figure it out. Get that in your mind. Now, once you have that, whatever it is there, I want to tell you first that you may never get it figured out. Yeah, you all roll your eyes. You may never get it figured out. Because, see, that's not your job to figure it out. Okay? It's not your job. We spend so much time trying to figure out why God is doing what God is doing, and that is way above your pay grade. You know? I have walked with the Lord long enough, and I have dealt with enough people long enough that sometimes I just say, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't get it. I'm right there with you. I don't get it. So first you understand, now you can deal with it, but you may not. Dealing with it is not the same as figuring it out. Okay? So you can deal with it, and what area of your life, if you could just say, and with that area of life, could you just say, God, what is it that you, if you really had the guts to, that you could say, God, would you just remove this in an instant? Just take care of it right now. You know, a little I Dream of Jeannie thing. Now he may, but he may not. Okay? So first, you know, what areas of it, of your life that is really struggling, that you're trying to figure out, you may not ever figure out, but if you could be honest with yourself and honest with God, you would say, God, just take it right now and deal with it. Secondly, he may or may not, but he will give you wisdom to get through it. Maybe not to understand it. We sang Wednesday night in our prayer time back there, we will understand it better by and by. Love that song. You know, trials dark on every hand and we cannot understand. But we will understand. So this side of glory, we may never understand it, but we can have God's wisdom to get through it. Because here is what we need to understand. What a difference it would make in life's most difficult times if we could just believe that God is all wise. Do you believe that? God is all wise. Doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. It is what it is, as they say, right? But he is all wise. And I think most of us believe that in our minds. We really do, that God has a plan, that God is all wise. We believe that in our minds, but our hearts and our wills struggle with it. You're not alone. And let me just tell you, it's okay. It's okay. Let's see. Job, David, Abraham, Jesus. It's okay. It's okay. But we can learn to rest in the will and the wisdom of God. In order for that to happen, two things must take place. First, we must recognize the way God reveals his will and wisdom to us. And secondly, we must know how to respond to God's will and wisdom to us. So let's take them in that order. How has God revealed his wisdom to us? There's a number of ways that I just want to kind of click through real quick. Through creation. How countless are the works, are your works, Lord. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, vast and wide, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. How countless are your works. God has revealed his will and his wisdom to us through creation, through what we see. In Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims the work of his hands. And day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they communicate. Listen, night after night, they communicate knowledge, wisdom. They communicate God. And there is no speech needed. There are no words. Their voice is not heard. Their message has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. The wisdom of God through creation. The heavens are declaring the glory of God, but they are also declaring the wisdom of God, because our world, our universe, works in perfect harmony all by itself. This is not This is not trying to go political one way or the other. This is not trying to go global warming one way or the other on us. But we are God's creation, and God's creation declares His glory and His wisdom. We are the ones that have messed it up. We really are. We are the ones that have made it go funky. And I know it's all in the guise of advancement and technology, and I'm all good for that, but you know, we have poked so many holes in the clouds. It's just ridiculous. We have done it to our own creation. Because there is an order and a wisdom to what God has created. The seasons change, sometimes all four in one day. Right? The seasons change and in perfect harmony with one another. You take the earth and you tilt it just slightly 1 degree or a portion of a degree, and some people would freeze to death and other people would burn to death, and we say, welcome to Texas, right? We have this ecosystem that just works perfectly all on its own. Certain animals eat other animals, and then other animals don't eat other animals, and you wonder, well, God, why didn't you make that animal eat that animal? Right? Because He has a wisdom and an order to the ecosystem that we don't understand. It's truly amazing. And we as crazy, you and I, as crazy, messed up, and sinful as we are God's best, highest creation. And some of you are looking at each other and say, He couldn't do any better than that? I just figured I'd say it for you. Right? We are God's best and highest creation. I'm reminded of what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, "For you created my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb, and I will praise you, for I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your eyes saw me when I was formless, and all my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how difficult your thoughts are for me to comprehend, and how vast their sum is." That has made news around the world here lately. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. That God took one teeny tiny cell, and in that one cell is everything for a human being. I mean, the skeletal system, the nervous system, the organ system, everything was in that one cell, that one little tiny cell. That is the glory of God. That is the wisdom of God. And God's thoughts and all of this is so high and above us, we can't grapple. That is why people choose to end life, because they don't understand the wisdom of God. They don't see it. They can't comprehend it. Because His way, the psalmist said, because your thoughts are how difficult your thoughts are for me to comprehend. We can't comprehend how special and sacred human life is. On any level, folks. I'm not just talking about pre-birth or right afterbirth. On any level, human life is sacred because we are created in the image of God. But He also reveals His wisdom in another way. He reveals His wisdom through providence. Not happenstance. Not coincidence. Or as my dad used to say, that's what a coinkydink. Not through any of that. Through providence. The Bible says the Lord frustrates the counsel of the nations. He thwarts the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart from generation to generation. You know, Hitler thought he had a plan. And God said, not on my watch. Maybe for a little while. You know, He had a plan. He only thought he had a plan, figured out how to make a perfect human race. I have news for you. There is no such thing. We are sinful creatures. We are bad, 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 Beverly. We are sinful creatures. There is no perfect human race. Mankind. What did he show this sinful humanity? Mankind, in his evilness, has plans, and we make these audacious claims, these audacious statements of how we are going to rule the world. And you look back in the book of Daniel, and we make these images of themselves, the statue, and the four kingdoms, and we make these images of themselves and predict how the world is going to be, and look where they are now. They're not. And we may not either. We may not be either. God may have something else in store that we don't know about just right now. The providence of God. And did you know that you may or may not have thought, I'm going to church today. That's a good thought, and I'm glad you're here. But you're not here because you got up this morning and decided, I'm going to go to church today. You're here because God brought you here. Every single one, I don't care what happened last night. I don't care what happened this morning. You are here through the providence of God. You are here because God has brought you here. And the reason God has brought you here is because he has a word for you. He has a word for you. It was the Lord that brought you here today because he had a plan. And in his wisdom, he knew you needed to be here today. And just think of your Bible history, okay? Remember Abraham and that starry night? And that barren womb? Remember that? And look up and I'm going to make you as numerous as the stars. And then what happened? Egypt happened. And 400 years of slavery happened. And then the exile to Babylon happened. And the world powers and the statue of Daniel happened. Great empires. And you know which nation was not mentioned at all? Israel. In that statue. Not a mention. And you know, you're a Jew and you're thinking, God, where is the promise? And Rome dominated them for years. And you're thinking, God, where is the promise? You said a great nation, and we're not feeling so great right now. And then they go out of existence. And then one day, in 1948, just like God predicted, he drew the nation of Israel from all four corners of the world and made them a nation again, just like he promised. The providence of God, just like God said he would bring them from four corners of the earth, and they became a nation. The wisdom and the providence of God. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And here's the big thing. His time frame is not our time frame. That's really where we get the hang up. We wish that God's time frame would be our time frame, and it's just not. And then there is another way God reveals his wisdom, and this is perhaps the best of all. God reveals his wisdom through redemption, namely through his son Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6, the Apostle Paul writes, "However, we do speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages, predestined before the ages of our glory, for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye did not see and ear did not hear and what never entered the human mind, God prepared this for those who love him. Now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. That is a rich, rich passage of Scripture. Now before we get into it in any kind of detail, I want to remind you and help you understand that what Paul is saying, wisdom is not IQ. Okay? Wisdom is not book smart. You can get smart from a book. Okay? You can even increase your IQ some from a book. You get wisdom from the book. Okay? You won't learn wisdom from a library book. You can learn some good stuff, but you don't get the wisdom of God except for from the Word of God. Imagine that. Not just any book. And you'll see more of that as we continue on, because this passage right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is some deep, smart stuff. And your mind may not be able to wrap itself around it, but your spirit and your heart can. Your spirit and your heart can. God destined for our glory before time began. God destined your glory before time began. There is this secret plan that God had going on. Something that God had been orchestrating in humanity by his perfect means since time began. Since before time began. The Bible says, before the foundations of the world, before God created one rock, before God created one tree, before God set the cosmos in order, God had a plan in his wisdom. And you talk to any average person, you talk to church people, you talk to any average person in church or on the street, regardless of their political party, regardless of the religious affiliation, doesn't matter. And almost everyone agrees on the same thing. This world has gone absolutely crazy. It's nuts what's going on, right? You don't have to be a believer to realize that. That's what they're all fighting about over there in Washington, is how crazy this world is and how they think they can get it back on track. Ha, 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 ha. Right? Yeah, Washington's going to help us out. I better be careful. I'm going to go to preaching. But I mean, it's just crazy. And they just, everyone thinks the world has gone crazy. They just don't know why. It's the wisdom of God. We know why. And we know how to get it back on track. We know why. It's a plan that has been in the works since the beginning of time, before time began. And it is to set all things right. That's God's plan, to set all things right. All things back in order. And how does it happen? It happens through the person of Jesus Christ. People through legislation and laws can't fix the problem. Education can't fix the problem. Social justices and social systems can't fix the problem. Yes, you need laws, but all laws do is keep bad people from being bad. Laws don't make bad people good. That's why a lot of them don't work. It just keeps the bad people from being any worse. Social justice is needed and it's important. But it doesn't solve the problem. And it's been that way for centuries. And each generation seems to get worse. Amen? Each generation seems to get worse. But don't be alarmed, because God's not alarmed. Now, that's not to say that we should just throw our hands up and not do anything, but God's not alarmed. He's got a plan. And his plan is that he longs to buy back, to redeem a lost humanity. I love that song. We haven't sung that in a long time, Michael. I'm so glad. Since I have been, that's God's plan, to redeem us. Since I've been redeemed, to buy us back. That's all redemption means, is to buy back. Through Christ. You've heard the statement, haven't you? The world is going to hell in a handbasket. Did he just say that? Yes, I did. Right? The world's going to hell in a handbasket. And guess what? It has been for a long time. This is nothing new. For centuries. But don't be alarmed, because God is going to buy it back. That's his plan, to buy it back from the grip of hell. Listen to this verse. It's great. 1 Corinthians, just flip back one page. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became, listen to this, God-given wisdom for our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And redemption. You see, God has a plan, and the plan is his son, to redeem the world. And that simply means to buy back Jesus Christ, and his plan is God's ultimate wisdom. Jesus is God's ultimate wisdom. Redemption, righteousness, sanctification. And you know what? Not even his closest friends got that. So if you can't fully understand it, it's okay. Because not even the men that lived and ate and slept with Jesus for 3 years got it right. Remember? Because that's what we always do. We try to do an end run. That's what the disciples wanted to do. Call down fire from heaven, God. They tried to make it happen with a sword in the garden. Come down from the cross. You know, they try to pull an end run on God's plan. And isn't that what we always try to do? We don't want to wait out for God's plan to play out. We want to do an end run. We want to make it quicker and more efficient for us. Okay? Goodness sake, some of us can't even keep our closets straightened. Why do we want God's plan to be efficient? Right? God's plan is messy. I will not kid you on that. God's plan is messy. But it's the best plan. Call down fire from heaven, end it with a sword, and all that good stuff. But God says in his wisdom, just wait. I have a plan. Stay the course. Let it play out. And guess what? It is playing out. Every time someone gives their heart to Jesus, God's plan is playing out. Every time a young girl or a young boy or an adult male or an adult female go through the waters of baptism like Emma did a couple of weeks ago, God's plan is playing out. And you may not understand this. You may not like it. In fact, you probably don't, because I don't. Every time hurt and trials and frustration and pain and difficulty and rejection and denial and problems come into your life, God's plan is playing out. God's plan is playing out. Don't lose sight of that. Does Jesus want to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life? Absolutely. Yes, he does. Does Jesus want you healed? Maybe. Maybe not in this life. But listen, God's ultimate goal is This is going to set some of you back on your heels. God's ultimate goal is not to heal you or me. It's not even to forgive you and give you eternal life. Although that happens and he does that and we benefit that, that is not God's ultimate will and wisdom. That is not God's ultimate goal. Stay with me. You see, we think it's all about us. Why would God use a young virgin named Mary? Why would God use a bunch of misfit ragtag band of men who were always seeking their own glory and their own power and their own positions and kept messing up? Why would God use you? And some of you are saying, why in the world would God use me? It's all to give him glory. Because you see, when God uses you, and when God uses your pain, and when God uses your stuff, he gets glory, and that is his ultimate goal. It is, I hate to tell you this, it is not about you. Take that mist, never mind. It is not about making your life happy, making you wealthy, or anything else like that. It is about God getting glory in your life. It is about God getting glory in this world. You see, this absolutely ridiculous plan of winning the world and buying the world back from sin and death was not about us. Yes, it benefits us, but it is ultimately about the glory of God. That is why it doesn't make sense to this world. That is why it doesn't make sense to you or make sense to me, because it is part of God's glory, and it's a wisdom that is not of this world, and it just does not make sense. And oh yeah, he loves you so much that he invites you in to the plan to bring glory into your life so he can get glory in him. It's all part of the plan. And so that big thing that I asked you to think about, whatever it is, that big thing that I asked you to think about at the beginning of the message that you just can't seem to shake because you can't figure it out as to why it's happening and how to make it better, God promises. He promises in his time, in his will and wisdom, to use it for your good to bring him glory. So how do we respond to the wisdom of God? First of all, we must live wisely. We must live wisely. Look at that passage there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Pay careful attention. In other words, God, Paul says, watch it. Pay attention to this. Pay careful attention then to how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise. God says there is a way that you can walk that makes sense. Making the most of the time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. God says there is a way to understand what the Lord's will is. There is a way in which you can walk. Walk wisely. To know what the Lord's will is. Well, how do we do that? We can actually know how to live wisely, and we can actually know how to do God's will. He doesn't leave us in the dark on this matter, but there is a process. This next step in learning how to understand the wisdom and the will of God is that we first must walk wisely. Secondly, we must reverence God's ways. God has an order to the world. God has an order to your life and an order to my life. There is a way we are to live. We reverence God's way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That word fear means just that. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Not fear in the sense that God is going to get you. Don't ever say that to your kids. God's going to get you for that. Don't say that. You may get them. And more parents need to. But fear in the sense that you are going to let him down. That's the fear of the Lord. God has an order to the way we should live, and when we get out of that order, it messes up our lives. It messes up our lives, and it messes up our relationship with God. I wish that we would stop asking God to bless our mess and instead live God's best. Lord just gave me that this morning. It wasn't in my notes. But it's so true. We you know, God has an order to relationships, to work, to family, to sex, and we get it. We turn it all upside down, and then we want God to ask God to bless it. How stupid is that? God has an order to things. And when we don't reverence that order, we pay for it. Just like when you got out of line with mom and dad, you paid for it. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Now you and I, as good parents, would say when we see a child messing up and the parent just doing nothing, we would say, or let me correct that, I would say, that's child abuse. I really believe that. When you don't discipline your children, when you don't put the boundaries on them, when you just let them run amok, when you just let them self-correct themselves and figure it out, that is child abuse. And we don't like child abuse, then why would we want God to do it with us? To just live any old way we want to and then expect for God to say, oh, well, isn't that cute? Oh, look what he's doing. Right? When you choose to live out of God's will and wisdom, and here's what happens. It drives us away from God because we don't reverence God's way and God's will, and we get things all turned upside down. It causes us to run away from God because we know in our heart of hearts that we're not doing what is right. So can I just tell you that while there may be discipline, just like when we disobeyed our parents as children, we were afraid because we disobeyed and we hurt our parents. But listen, God will always, always, always accept you back. Always. Don't run from him, run to him. And tell him how sorry you are. And I promise, he promises, he will always accept you back. Reverence God and his way. Well, how do you do that? How do you know what God's way is? Through God's word. So the next step is you must read and understand his word. The Bible says all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God or woman may be complete, equipped for every good work. Listen, I am all for reading God's word. You can never overread God's word. You can overwatch TV. You can overdo Candy Crush. You can overdo Pinterest. You can overdo Facebook. But you can never overdo reading God's word. You just can't. Right? You just can't. But you have to do more than just read God's word. There is a time and a place to just read God's word. But at some point, we must act on what we know, because God's word, here's what I know. God's word is meant to transform, not just inform us. Did you know that no one was ever changed by just knowing God's word? Huh? Yeah. No one was ever changed by just knowing God's word. What changes us is doing God's word. Big difference. Big difference. It's applying what you have read and know and know that changes you. Well, how do I, and I hear it all the time, I don't know how to study God's word. Let me just give you real quick, six quick questions. Are they up here, Robert? Okay, we're going to run through them. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But if you, whenever you're reading your Bible, if you'll keep a pen and paper around or you know, talk into your memory on your phone, whatever, is there a promise to claim? Is there a lesson to learn? Is there a blessing to enjoy? Is there a command to obey? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a new thought to carry away? That right there is a Bible study. If you will ask those questions of whatever passage you're reading, you have just done a Bible study. And you didn't need Beth Moore, you didn't need Joyce Myers, you didn't need Priscilla Shire, you didn't need Pastor Clay. All right? You can do it all by yourself. But you still need to come to church. Just want to put that out there. So we have to reverence God's way, we have to read and understand God's word, and we must ask for it. The Bible says in James, now, if any of you lacks, what have we been talking about? Wisdom. Not book smarts, not IQ, but if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously. God's not holding it back from you. We should ask of God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing. God's never going to say, you should have known that. God's never going to say, that's a stupid question. Without criticizing. And it will be given to him. That's an airtight promise. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. This is an airtight promise from God. If you want wisdom, just ask. But I want you to understand the context of this verse. If you go back up and begin in chapter 1 of James... in chapter 1, you start in verse 2, consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials. Knowing that, the testing of your faith produces endurance, but endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God. So when trials come into your life, that's the context of asking God for wisdom. God, help me to understand this. Help me to receive this. Help me to accept this. Because if you ask God, he will give it to you. And he won't criticize you. He won't think you blockhead. You should have known this by now. Although you probably should have. He won't ever do that. He gives generously. But you have to ask and you have to do. I get it all the time. I get it all the time. Pastor, I'd need to come by and talk to you. Okay. Well, why don't you come by? We make an appointment. They come by and they sit and they... tell me what's going on. What do you think I should do? Well, let's see. No. What do you think I should do? Well, let's see. No. I know what the Bible says, but what do you think I should do? You laugh, but it happens. Amen, Raju? You don't want to know what I think. What does God's word think? Whatever it is, do it. Don't ask God to help you. Don't ask God to give you direction and then not use it. That's a waste of your time. And it's a waste of precious, precious resources and promises from God's word. Stop asking God to bless your mess. And live out God's best that you see in God's... Because here's what I know about all of us, because I've pastored long enough. Most of us already know what God wants us to do. We just don't want to do it. And that's from the pulpit to the pew. I'm not telling you anything that I haven't told myself. I know what God's will and wisdom for my life is, but sometimes I just don't want to do it. And so... finally, we must learn to trust God completely. Here's what we need to do. We need to learn to give God a blank check. Now, Chris and Gloria, with their banking background, they don't like blank checks because that's a big no-no. Except for when it comes to God. Except when it comes to God. Because it's all His anyways. It's His mess. Your mess is His mess. Your pain is His pain. Your problem is His problem. And if you give it to Him, here's what you need to understand. If you give everything to Him, if you give your pain, your mess, your problem, your kids, your job, your health, if you give all of that to Him and something starts happening in your life, you get to say, God, we have a problem. But if you hold it all in, and you claim it as your own, you claim your kids as your own, you claim your health as your own, you claim your job as your own, you claim your finances as your own, you claim your relationships as your own, and things start going south, and they will go south at some point to some degree. Then guess what happens? God says, you've got a problem. Because it's not mine, because you haven't given it to me. So are you willing to just give God a blank check? And it starts with your heart. It starts with your sin. It starts with your life. And then bringing everything else into tow. Heavenly Father,